Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Nicole Galindis is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's a friend of ours. She is contributing editor at City Journal in the New York City area. She's also a Searle Freedom Trust Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, an organization that we know very well. You do, too, because of us, for no other reason, because we've introduced you to many of their fellows at the Manhattan Institute. And she is one of those outstanding individuals, and she's here to talk to us about New York City. And part of my job is to help us all understand why any of us should care. Nicole, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. Okay. Let's start out by getting you to tell us a little bit about what's going on in New York City. I'm looking at some of the records here that I think you helped produce, probably Nicole, and inflation between 2000 and 2007 was up 24%, but property tax revenue was up 66%, personal income tax was up 44%, corporate tax was up 83%. Mortgage and transfer taxes were up 266%, and banking taxes were up 260%. I mean, those are pretty healthy numbers, aren't they?
Oh, yes. We've really been having a tax boom in New York City since the year before 9/11 to take out the effects of 9/11. Total tax collections are up 70%, and that's not mostly due to the Bloomberg tax hikes. They would still be up 60% without the tax hikes.
What were his tax hikes on?
Back in 2002 and 2003, the mayor raised taxes, four different types of taxes, property taxes and cigarette taxes permanently, and income and sales taxes temporarily. Now, those two have expired, but the property tax, for the most part, as well as the entire cigarette tax hike, are still in place.
Right. Okay. So the city, if you just look at these numbers, you'd think that the city is awash in cash. Is that true?
Well, it has been up until, I would say, maybe late spring or so. The problem is what's going on now, and I'm sure your listeners are aware of the Wall Street credit turmoil, some of the national housing market.
The subprime. Exactly.
And not only subprime, but also much more difficult lending terms for even prime borrowers. We had a lot of people putting down 10% mortgages in Manhattan, people who are wealthy, have good credit, but are having to reach to buy apartments that are $1, $2, $3 million, and they're not getting
those poor babies.
Mm-hmm.
Bless their hearts. How can they live?
As well as corporate credit as well. The banks have $300 billion worth of corporate lending on their books that they haven't been able to offload, so we're seeing a little bit of a stagnation on Wall Street.
What they haven't been able to do is sell those upstream to securities.
Yes,
They've had to keep them internally, which is tied up their cash.
Mm-hmm. And they can't make new loans until they figure out what to do with those old loans.
Now, the reason why, folks, as I promise you, what I get paid the big bucks around here for is to help you understand why all the things that Nicole is talking about are relevant to you and me. This could be happening in your own hometown, because you got people in your hometown who want to buy houses and they want to get a mortgage. They go to the bank, and the bank may be less likely to give you to make the loan, or at least on the terms that they would have made, because they may not have as much of an opportunity to unload, as you say, Nicole, that mortgage upstream to someone who's going to securitize it. They might have to keep it in-house, and that's not as profitable for them.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And another thing that I don't know if many people realize is how foreclosures affect them. And you, a person may be thinking, well, I'm paying my mortgage, I'm not going to have my home foreclosed on, I don't have one of these two-year adjustable rate mortgages. But the problem is if the bank ends up foreclosing on several homes in your neighborhood, you paid $300,000 for your home, and these homes are foreclosed and sold at auction maybe for $250,000 or whatever price. That means that your home is could be worth less as well. So it makes people feel a little less wealthy.
Absolutely. So, but back to New York City, is Mayor Bloomberg taking credit for this good fortune?
Well, I don't think he's explicitly taken credit for Wall Street's good fortune. What he has done, unfortunately, is spend the past 5 years, all of this time that these good times bought us, to really start to restructure our budget, which is seriously out of whack. It has a permanent structural imbalances, and it needs above-average economic growth every single year. Otherwise, we quickly get behind on our budget. And what the mayor has done is really use the good times to do fun things, talk about, Plan 2030, all of the environmental issues, planting a million trees, building a new subway line, and all of that is fine and valuable. But the problem is that the next mayor won't be able to continue any of that because of this budget problem that the mayor has left.
Are you saying that Mayor Bloomberg is spending the money that's coming in as if it were a permanent, going to be a permanent situation, and any kind of a hiccup in the future could create major problems?
Oh yes, any type of a hiccup in the future could create a major problem.
Like an expansion of the problem of the melt. Of the subprime meltdown, if that actually
got out of
hand or something.
Yes, if it lasts really more than into the spring, we'll be looking at a big deficit. And it's not that he has spent the extra money. It's more that he has spent the time. We should have been using these good times to do things like reform our pension and health
but
benefits.
But see, but Nicole, this is so classic politician. I mean, do you remember back in the earlier part of the decade, cities in the late 90s, states, I should say, they were awash in cash. They had all kinds of money. Then all of a sudden we had the recession and the attacks and the some of the other problems of 2001 and 2 and 3, and all of a sudden we had some states that were near bankruptcy. This thing about putting money away for a rainy day, politicians don't even know what that means.
No.
Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Nicole Galinas. She's with the Manhattan Institute. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Nicole Galinas. She's with the Manhattan Institute and also a contributing editor with City Journal. Nicole, give us your website, please.
It's city-journal.org.
All right. And, of course, the Manhattan Institute website is manhattan-institute.org.
Is it .org? .org as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. So check those out. You can find all the things that Nicole writes about there at both of those fine organizations. We're talking about New York City and some of the issues that are going on with the budget there, but also, you know, as you said to me during the break, Nicole, New York City is kind of a bellwether, isn't it? It's a possible example of things to come for a lot of different organizations. We've seen this happen before. We've seen municipalities and states, when things are going well, they think it's because they're so smart, and that the good times will always roll. But as we know, the good times don't always roll, contrary to what they say down in Louisiana. And sometimes, you know, eventually things come around, and you have budget problems.
Yes, and so
you call actually call New York City the canary in the mine shaft for us. Why do you think that?
Yes, and there's two reasons. One has to do with the budget side. We are seeing the turmoil in our budget as soon as this winter, early next spring, because our revenues are so concentrated and so dependent on these mortgage-backed securities. All of the mortgages that are written throughout the country eventually come through New York. So when that stops or slows, we're hit in a concentrated manner very quickly. Mm-hmm. But the problem is in the rest of the country, most cities, counties, states depend heavily on property taxes and on property sales related taxes, things like you pay a small tax when you sell your property, you pay a small tax when you take out a mortgage. If these things slow for more than a few months, there will be more than a few states, cities, and counties that have the same type of budget deficits because these governments constantly budget on the assumption that these taxes will increase. If they're putting out five-year budget plans, they'll assume property taxes are going up 5% every single year.
Well, and see, this also has a significant impact when the cities are negotiating with the unions, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because the unions are negotiating hard. They see all the money coming in. The cities and the states say, well, we got the money. We might as well give it to them. But if you want to see what that can look like when it gets really ugly, ladies and gentlemen, look at Michigan, look at Detroit.
Yes, the good times are the best time to try to restructure union contracts, try to get some union members to take a greater share of their health care spending, for example. Mm-hmm. But it's almost invariably the opposite. The politicians do see the good times as a time to get more votes and give more benefits that can't be paid during the bad times. And another problem for the rest of the nation is, you know, again, when we see lending stop, we feel the economic activity first in New York City because 20% of our personal income is directly tied to Wall Street. But in the rest of the nation, if lending stops from New York for a few weeks, a few months, you'll see stagnation because the economy constantly needs new investments are coming in to continue to grow. We saw this in the late 1980s and early 1990s.
Well, back after the crash of 87, things got really rough there.
Mm-hmm.
All in the whole tri-state area, property values went down, and people lost their jobs, and there were a lot of problems because of the stock market issue back in those days. And as long as it was interesting. I had not heard the percentage that New York depends upon Wall Street, 20%. Is that a good number, or is that a number that the city should be trying to reduce?
The city really should be trying to reduce that and get us away from being so dependent on one industry. And the best way to do that is to lower the personal income tax rates. Both the city and state personal income tax rate, people pay 10% of their personal income in taxes just for the privilege of living in New York, which makes us very uncompetitive.
The state income tax is 10%.
The city and state tax
together
is 10%. The city is about 3.5%, and then the state makes up the rest. So what happens is it's very hard for us to get, you know, tech jobs, entrepreneurial jobs, because people are saying, I'm not sure how much money I'm going to be making, and I don't want to give a huge chunk of it to taxes. So it's hard to get new businesses. We kind of depend on the old businesses.
Right, exactly. No, in fact, a lot of the old businesses they're going to move to where there's the lower taxes are for themselves,
and
for their employees.
Especially in a tough time when people are trying to cut expenses, that's when they think about doing those things.
We see that happening all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at California. California's lost a lot of small businesses over the last several years because they keep raising taxes and regulations on small businesses.
Sure.
And they're going to Colorado or other places like that. They're just getting the heck out of California because the taxes are so high.
Mm-hmm. And even in India.
Yeah, exactly. Take those jobs, exactly. That's one of the reasons they're going offshore.
Right.
Nicole, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thank
you. Nicole Galinas, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute and City Journal. Quick break, right back with our good buddy, Dr. Ivan Meisner. We're going to talk about butterflies right after these messages.
I'm so happy, that you love me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.